Rachel, thank you for your time.
Good morning, Julia.
Good morning. So I know it's a generally broad term, but is there any way to give a working definition of ethical eating?
Sure. I mean, many people make choices all of the time that involve values. And so ethical eating really captures the kinds of values people consider when they make food choices. And it may be at the supermarket, it may be in a restaurant or even a takeaway kind of setting. In some cases, people seek out certain kinds of products. So local has become incredibly popular in Australia at the moment. In other cases, they avoid other products because they find them problematic in some way. And so vegetarians and vegans obviously choose to avoid meat or animal products. And other people choose to avoid, say, things that are genetically modified or things that are produced potentially or actually under unfair labor conditions. So there's a range of types of decisions that people make, and there's not one-size-fits-all kind of answer about a particular food or a particular choice being ethical.
Mm, many avenues there. And this obviously extends to dining out. Do you feel that restaurants often label themselves as ethical as more of a marketing ploy rather than a sincere position?
Yeah, we've certainly seen that in the retailing sector. There's been a lot of fuss around, for example, free-range eggs, and people are quite concerned, even though there's standards, that free-range captures a pretty wide set of conditions under which hens live. Similarly, in the restaurant sector, it has become a buzzword, particularly higher-end restaurants, but even your local cafe, you will see claims about, products being used as being either local, where they've been sourced from, free-range, vegan, vegetarian, the gamut, organic is also incredibly popular. And it's not something I think we've tended to think as much about. And more generally, our research at Food Values Research Group at University of Adelaide has really shown that often when people go out, we kind of go off the clock with considering these issues. We think, we deserve a treat when we go out. The information isn't as easy to source. We may seek out particularly higher-end restaurants because they say, they're using local products or, they're trialing sustainable use of indigenous ingredients. But when we just make that quick decision at lunch, or we're going out with mates or whatever, we may not be as attentive, perhaps, to the same things we'd pay more attention to if we were buying it in a grocery store.
So do you encourage we be more attentive, or do you think it's up to the restaurants to be transparent about their modes of production?
I think it goes both ways. I think consumers are getting more demanding more generally, and so restaurants need to be aware that this wave isn't dying. It seems to be pushing into sectors like the eating out sector, even though traditionally we haven't paid much attention. But I also think it's up to us. As I said before, there's no one right decision that's going to be ethical. People's values are different. And so in particular, it's quite difficult, even when you have a lot of control and a lot of transparency, to pick a product that's going to check all the boxes. There's, for example, in the series that the article that I wrote appeared in, there's attention to how tuna, for instance, in the tin, is often produced under really unfair or even slavery-like work conditions. And that's something I think when we quickly pack our tin of tuna for lunch, we don't really think about. So it goes across sort of the gamut of the food choices we make, but I think it's a zone in which these issues are only going to get more heightened. And if people want to be consistent in their eating habits or want to try to encourage more use of environmentally sound ingredients, sustainable ingredients, local ingredients, whatever it is your values are, there's a need to start thinking about our decisions when we eat out as well.
Yeah, we did actually cover that earlier in the show, the slave trade industry in Thailand with regards to tuna. And yeah, obviously, it's down to the consumer to look out for their products, but then you've got the, people with busy schedules and...
Indeed. Yeah, and another thing that we really push, I think people are trying to make good decisions for themselves, their families, those around them and so on, but there's limited time and there's limited money. Mm-hmm. And I think the short solution isn't to say everyone should grow everything at home. That's unrealistic. Yeah. So I think we need to be a bit more constructive as a society to think about how things like labeling might be able to help us, but also the limits of labeling. There's limited real estate, as they put it, on the label. There's only so much information there can be after the nutrition and a few other things. And so how much of this are we putting back on consumers? There's a lot of trust, actually, that needs to be in the picture of who you're buying from, and that they're giving you in a transparent way the information you need.
Completely. And just going a bit off topic now, there's a movement in some Australian restaurants to engage with Indigenous history, using native ingredients and training Indigenous chefs. Do you think ethical eating is a political act?
It can be, yeah. I think for a lot of people, it is a political act where they actually think they're trying to make changes in a broader system, right? Not for everyone. I think a lot of people are skeptical that sort of those small-scale decisions that you make can add up to make a big difference. But for some people, especially when you make these bigger choices, it's an ethical act. And when you're spending a lot of money, say, out at a restaurant, you may be more aware of these things. I think the Indigenous trend is an interesting one because we've seen it come full circle a number of times. You know, in 2000, there was a big push to use Indigenous ingredients because of the Olympics. And then it sort of died off. There wasn't enough supply. There wasn't enough demand. And then it kind of resurfaced again and died off again. And this is sort of the latest kind of in the cycle. But this one seems to have a lot of promise. There's a lot more attention to what's out there that can be actually grown in a sustainable way, but more importantly, partnering with Indigenous communities so that, you know, profits are coming back to them, that they're actually providing their knowledge and expertise. And in that way, I think this latest wave probably has a lot more potential than the earlier waves, which didn't really have the base to build on.
Wow, that sounds great. What can we look out for in terms of up-and-coming, maybe promising Indigenous or restaurants with Indigenous chefs producing those goods? Do you know of any, or is anything...
There's a lot of programs in Melbourne. There's several programs in Melbourne that are, and there's links, the article that I published in The Conversation has some links to some of those sources where they are training up chefs and getting sort of ready to do this sort of thing.
Sure.
There's a number of smaller scale companies that are coming up and building up sort of niche products. One of the things is, though, we don't always know how to use these products, and that's been a big push of people who are really starting to promote it, at least for home use. But at least in the Melbourne area, there's a lot. There's a few here in Adelaide as well. But I think we'll see it left and right. The question is just, you know, is this something that's going to be just a flash in the pan, or is it something that will be more sustainable? And I hope the connection back to not just it tastes interesting, but to the idea that it's giving back into Indigenous communities and actually engaging their expertise and training up young people will be a hook that'll give it the longevity.
Completely. And so just lastly, what can the average diner do if they wish to eat ethically? What can they look out for?
I think the average diner needs to just realize that you're always making, if not compromises, trade-offs. So you may well go to a restaurant that, you know, advertises that everything is local, but if organic is important to you, it may well not be organic. Not everyone thinks organic is important. In other sorts of cases, it may well be, you know, if you want to go to an Asian restaurant, a lot of the condiments, no matter how hard anybody tries, unless they make them from scratch, are going to be imported of necessity. I might be able to get the fresh stuff. So you're going to be making trade-offs, I think, inevitably. And part of it is probably not to be too hard on yourself as you make those trade-offs, but also to start to ask more questions where you really do have the deeply held values. The way a vegetarian would always ask, you know, is there fish sauce in that? If we have concerns, for instance, about tinned tuna or about labor conditions, both overseas but here in Australia, there have been issues about migrant farm workers here in particular really being under abusive conditions. We need to, you know, start to ask those questions. But the last thing, I think, you know, as I said, not to be too hard on yourself. There is a need, if you're going to behave kind of in this moral way that's consistent with your values, to realize that sometimes it's just not going to be possible or it's not going to work, given, you know, the system that we work in, which is quite a complex food system. It's pretty difficult to get all the information that you would need. You need to feed your kid at the end of the day, so, you know, get on with it. But just being aware that all of these values have trade-offs and labeling doesn't always tell you everything.
Yeah, it is quite difficult, isn't it? I can't imagine one completely 100% ethical meal ever. I don't know if that's even possible.
Well, yeah, I mean, I always think about growing at home is limited in our climate. You know,
yes.
You would really need to know what you were doing, even if you have that time, money, luxury, and so on to do that. Then what? You know, so there's exactly. No one right answer or one size fits all.
Right. Well, Rachel, a lot to consider there. Thank you so much for your time on the show today.
Thanks for having me, Angela.